Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 27 for a moment this evening, if you would, please. Psalm 27. I don't know about you, but this past week has been incredibly full for the Swartzes. In fact, I laugh to even say that. It's been incredibly full. And I think for some of you, if the week hasn't, the day has been. And I wanted to do something just a little different this evening. There's a verse and a devotional that I'm going to be reading with you from this psalm. But because we're not doing an exegetical look into God's Word this evening, I thought we would read through the psalm. And the verse that we're focusing a special attention on will be verse 11, where David prays, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." But before he says that, he says this in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Gentleman that I haven't met, had the privilege of meeting, wrote, "Growing up, it was the source of endless entertainment for us. My dad was the guru of shortcuts." When I read that, I thought, his dad wasn't the only one. "He lived on an endless quest for the shortest route to all the places to which he regularly drove. And he was never satisfied with his latest discovery. He was always after a better time-saving route than the last one. My mom used to kid my dad that most of his shortcuts were, in fact, long cuts. I remember one thing my dad would say, though, in his search for the shortest distance to wherever, and it was this: the shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line, right? He asked, "Have you ever wondered what David means in Psalm 27:11 when he said, 'Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me,'" and I think he's using the ESV here, "'lead me on a level,' which is to say a straight path, because of my enemies." The life to which God has called us is the ultimate straight line. This line starts with dead rebels. That's where we are, aren't we, when we're brought to faith. And it ends with people alive and reformed into the likeness of God's Son. The problem is that we all tend to have a shortcut mentality, which leads us into shortcut problems. Our living is seldom a straight line. The paths that we think will be easier and better are often not better at all. They seldom end up being better routes to the life which God has designed for us to live. What seem to be better paths to us are actually self-oriented long cuts that actually take us away from where God wants us to be. Somehow, some way, we all take daily detours in our thoughts and our desires that move us off the straight path that God has placed us on by His grace. In magnificently patient, transforming love, God has redeemed us from the jungle of our rebellion, our lust, our autonomy, our foolishness, our self-focus, and He's placed us on a narrow pathway of the grace of His Son. The problem is that we all tend to get tricked into taking detours that get us off God's path and into trouble. One problem... Now, let me back up. Our problem is twofold. First, we get diverted because we're impatient. The trip to where God is taking us is not an event. It's a process. And the process isn't easy. God's road takes us through the heat of the sun, through storms and cold, through the dark of night, through loneliness and confusion. All of these things are under God's control, and they're meant to change us as we journey. But we get tired, and we get impatient, and we begin to convince ourselves that there's a better way. But that's not all. That is, being impatient isn't the only problem we face. We also get diverted because we're disloyal. Our hearts aren't yet fully committed to God's glory and His kingdom. So we don't keep our eyes focused on the kingdom to come that's in front of us. No, we're looking all around, still attracted to the shadow glories of creation, because we still carry around in us allegiance to the small agenda purposes of the kingdom of self. So in our impatience and disloyalty, we see paths that appear easier, more comfortable, or that appear to offer us things that we haven't found on God's pathway, but these side routes only serve to lead to danger and destruction and ultimately death. There's no time when this temptation is more powerful than when we're facing difficulty. This is exactly what the verse we're considering recognizes, that is, that verse from David's Psalm. When you're being hammered by the enemy, it's very tempting to debate within yourself as to whether God's way is, in fact, the best way. It may start with bad attitudes. Perhaps you begin to doubt God or doubt His goodness or question His love. Perhaps you give way to anger, impatience, irritation. Or maybe you begin to allow yourself to envy. You wonder why the guy next to you has such an easy route to walk, and yours is so hard. These bad attitudes lead to bad habits. You quit praying because you reason that it doesn't seem to do any good anyway. You stop reading your Bible because those promises don't seem to be coming true in your life. You quit attending your small group because you can't stand to hear the stories of God's love that others share when your life is so hard. You even begin to give yourself reasons for missing the Sunday worship service, reasons you once wouldn't have given yourself. Before too long, there's a coldness and distance in your relationship with God that would have shocked you in the earlier days of your journey. Your difficulty has deceived you into thinking that you have reasons for wandering off God's straight path, and your attitudes and habits have placed you on the dangerous side paths of the kingdom of self. So David's prayer is an important request for all of us. All of us step off God's path in some way, and all of us need restoring grace. Have you gotten off God's straight path? Have you given yourself any reason to take side paths? How about praying? Once again today, Lord, teach me your way. Lead me in a level path. Thankfully, our Savior, our guide, doesn't leave us to our wandering. He relentlessly seeks us, places us back on his straight path, and for that, every son and daughter still on the journey should be deeply thankful. And when I read this devotion recently to myself, I could find enough personal application in that. In fact, his last words regarding being deeply thankful to myself, I said, "Yes, Lord, thank you." And in one sense, I feel like I'm reading to the choir tonight in what I have here. And yet at the same time, the spirit of what he's saying is appropriate for us to ponder as we move to the Lord's table, isn't it? It's right for us to reflect in ourselves and make sure that our hearts and lives are clean. Years ago, someone said a little adage that I've repeated to you, and it really encapsulates, I think, the risk that all of us face as Christians. They said this, that failure in the Christian life is rarely the result of a sudden blowout, but it regularly is the problem of a slow leak. And so while we're here tonight, this is the Sunday night group, and we're regular attenders, and I hope you're regularly in the Word and you're regularly in prayer, it's always appropriate for us to bring our hearts before God. And again, in David's terms, in Psalm 139, to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my way. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And that's a good thing for us to do tonight as we get ready to take the Lord's table together. So if you would, let's just take time to bow our hearts and our heads before the Lord and take a moment to